Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Leaders Playlist. My name is Renee Craven, and today Anita Burke and I are discussing the book Agile People by Pia Maria Turian. We hope you enjoy. Hi Anita, how are you?
Hi Renee, really good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good.
Towards the end of the week, feeling a little bit ratty, but happy that tomorrow is Friday.
Favorite day.
Yes. The book we are going to discuss today is called Agile People by Pia Maria Turian. I hope I pronounced that correctly. A Swedish lady, I believe. It's a radical approach for HR and managers that leads to motivated employees.
This book was a little bit different to what we were expecting, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was sort of expecting it to be about the application of agile principles and practices within an HR department. Perhaps how the HR team could be more user-focused and use experimentation or test and learn, maybe about organizing the function by value streams around the user and really focusing in on that end-to-end capability and delivery of value and sort of removing the bureaucracy within the department, which exists. But instead it was sort of more about using agile principles within HR practices. So within learning and development or talent acquisition or performance management, which really meant there was some different thinking about how HR could use the principles to structure these processes. But it also kind of put most of the responsibility back to the people using those processes rather than how they might use agility to implement these processes.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, HR is in transformation kind of activities. HR is one of those areas or departments that kind of get left behind, or they start way after everybody else and then they're kind of expected to catch up really quickly. And the fact that they have to go through a transformation themselves gets lost. So yes, that was my hope for this book as well. It's like, oh, how can, if we have the opportunity to work in a HR area again, how could we do it differently? How could we approach it differently? I was hoping to learn how to relate agile to HR.
Such a different context, HR departments.
Having said that, there were some nuggets of gold, we were calling them, as we were reading the book. One of the things that I really liked in here was something called the ambitions document, or an ambitions A3. And it was a way for people, employees, to structure their ambitions over a year. So it was a different approach to performance reviews, I guess. You know, usually every year you have, at the end of the year, you have some big review, and then you get with feedback from people and ratings, and that usually equals some kind of pay increase or bonus or something like that. She was talking about how we could approach that differently. And this Ambitions A3 was a way to do that, in getting people to work with their manager to break down where they want to be by the end of the year from a learning and development perspective. And map that out, break it down into, this document has quarters and then the actions that are required for each one of those quarters, and a little bit of a burn up chart of how they were going against those and how they were moving towards their goal. I really liked the visualization of that. Kind of took it away from just being using a tool to capture stuff, which doesn't appeal to everyone. But if they can break their goals down and see how they can, what they need to do to contribute to it, I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, it was a nice visual. She had some other stuff in that sort of performance management, goal setting, rewards chapters, sort of focusing more on continuous performance feedback and improvement focus throughout the year, rather than it being that sort of quarterly or annual process. And the other thing I really liked was when she talked about KPIs or the OKRs or performance objectives being more team-based, because as a whole, the team are responsible for the outcomes, and it really encourages that collaboration
Yeah.
And removing those individual-based outcomes, and that those goals should be around creating customer value, not just around producing stuff. So there were some good little nuggets in there that I thought were on the right track. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked her. She wasn't describing OKR specifically. It was a lot more general than that. But I wrote in my notes, this reminds me of how OKRs should be done. The dot point is, imagine that the organization wants people and teams to engage with their whole selves for the greater good of the organization. But then they give them a numerical targets created by the management team. Instead, if you want employee engagement, let them create their own objectives and link their own measurements to the overall company targets.
Mm. One of the things I noticed about this book was that there was a bit of inconsistency when it came to the messaging. So for all that stuff we connected with and liked in the performance management and goal setting chapters, then it sort of fell over again in the rewards chapter, where she started talking more about bonuses at the individual level rather than team-based. So, yeah, I kind of felt like there was some conflict in some of the ideas that she discussed throughout the book, and that was one example.
Something that she said very early on in the book, which I thought was a little bit controversial but probably true when I think about it, that most of the management and HR processes are built on distrusting people.
Mm.
They are built on trying to control everyone to ensure they're doing the correct things instead of just trusting people to do the correct thing.
Yep.
And it made me think about all of those things that you have to do as an employee in an organization, and just gets kind of categorized as something that HR needs us to do. So just do it. Mm-hmm. So people blindly do it, and it takes a long time to do. So it kind of reminded me of the agile value of, you know, processes and tools, where we're responding by adding more processes and more tools and having it stay with the teams and let them figure stuff out. I mean, of course, there's some things that are compulsory or for legal reasons that we have to do some of those processes.
Mm, yeah, where it's more that compliance-based stuff. Yeah. You've got to do this to tick the box and be compliant. Even simple things like applying for leave, the amount of checks and approvals those sorts of processes go through, whereas you forget that you're dealing with an organization full of adults that can probably manage their time, but yet you have these processes in place to prevent a lot of people taking advantage or doing the wrong thing. From that base level, simple stuff, you're not leading from a place of trust, and
so it
sort of sets the tone.
I once observed a team, this is years ago, I once observed a team who approved or declined each other's leave. So it was part of the stand-up, and someone wanted to take leave and they went, which dates? No, that doesn't suit the team. You could do this, you could go on this date, but not any earlier because we've got these things to do. And, you know, so it was really, when I first saw it, I went, oh my God, that's hardcore. But
that's cool.
It was very cool, yes. Oh. So they managed it. They knew what their goals were. They knew what they were trying to achieve over a period of time. And they were the best placed to decide if that person in their team could take leave at the time they wanted or not.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it leads sort of to a couple of the points she makes in the book. Another probably controversial idea was where she talked about involving peers and direct reports in nominating people for leadership roles, which I absolutely love. There's no one else that is better placed to be able to say, this is who I think would make us a great leader for our team. And I'd been thinking about it, I think it would eliminate bullies in leadership roles, because they just wouldn't make it. They wouldn't get there.
Yeah.
Your peers and the people you work with know better than anyone who makes a great leader. It's not necessarily those that suck up to the execs the greatest and the ones that get seen. But having your peers make that call about who would be great in this role. Mm. I really liked that idea. But it was so briefly mentioned and sort of brushed over. It was such a sort of, oh, wow, that's something I hadn't heard of before or thought about before. It was just kind of mentioned in a dot point, and she could have really gotten down into some interesting detail about that,
yeah,
which was a missed
opportunity. Same as you, I was really looking for, I'm like, oh, maybe that's going to be in later in the book. Maybe she's going to dive into that a bit deeper, but it didn't come. She says, you will minimize envy, competition, and social pain by doing that. Yeah. So it would be a great experiment to run in an organization, I think. Mm. We've got this role. I was thinking about it. You know, I remember back at school, primary school, we had to do school captain and sports captains and things like that. You had to get nominated. It made sense for school kids to do that. Teachers could have just gone, no, these are the high performing students, or these are the people that will make the best captains. But they didn't do that
for our school. Yeah.
And then the students voted as well. It wasn't the teachers didn't get involved at all. They just facilitated the decision. Mm. And yeah, it's kind of sad that we trust primary school kids, like 11, 12 year olds, to do that, but not in organizations. And I guess that is it's a distrusting thing. It comes back to that distrust again.
And it all becomes political. Mm. Then it's a game, and it's becomes about who you know, and it's a very strange change. And she also almost doubled down on that idea when it came to rewards as well, and talking about peer determined bonuses. And again, there wasn't a lot of detail about it, but the concept was basically that no one knows better than your team how you've contributed to the outcomes. Also, whether you've been truly collaborative and great to work with, you know, all of that should come into it as well. Mm. So I liked that idea as well. I mean, it was kind of in contrast to what she was talking about in terms of team-based goals, because, again, she got into individual rewards. But I think there's some ideas there that could have been played around with some more and explored some more that would have been really valuable.
Yeah. Maybe Pia had a lot of ideas that she wanted to get down on paper. I don't know. Maybe there's another book in her mind of all the controversial things. We got to bear in mind she's Swedish. So maybe for her, she thought some of these, what we think are controversial, might have just been obvious for her. It might be something that is normal, that happens all the time, when it's like, oh my God, what a concept. Let's give that a go, where it kind of just surprises us.
Yeah, true. On your thought there around maybe there's more books in her head, she mentioned in the conclusion the use of tools and practices first, and then building on that with adjusting and developing the mindset of agility as you mature, which felt, again, like a bit of a contrast to what she'd shared throughout the book, which was more mindset and application of principles focused, with barely any mention of the tools and practices of agility in HR. So I almost felt like maybe there was a book prior to this one that we missed, but or that's maybe in the back of her head as well as another option.
One of the chapters is employee engagement, and she had another visual, again, a bit of a graph of how to measure employee satisfaction. And she's got two axes, the employee satisfaction and organizational contribution. It made me think about the employee satisfaction surveys, or whatever you want to call them, that we've had to complete over the years. And generally there are, you know, NPS kind of 0 to 10 rating. And I think it's getting it, and it's hard as an employee to give that feedback of, well, this is how satisfied I am and this is why. When she talks about organizational contributions, and it's kind of a flavor that runs throughout the book. She's talking about people who, employees who value learning and put that effort into putting themselves through training courses and practice and all sorts of stuff, the 70-20-10 rule, instead of just sitting there and waiting to be told that you're going on this training or we've got some budget, you know, go and find a training course or whatever it is. It's someone, the employees driving their own development as opposed to the manager driving the employee's development. So I liked that having those two kind of lenses. How satisfied is the employee? How are they also contributing to the organization? Because they could be quite happy sitting on their own doing stuff, whatever they want to do, but are they actually working towards something? Are they contributing to goals at the team level, at the organizational level, or not?
I might just touch briefly on a couple of things that didn't connect well with me for the book, within the book. There were a couple of chapters on agile leadership and agile management, and I didn't really understand why there was a differentiation between the two, and there was a lot of overlap in those chapters as well. And she mentioned in one of those that everyone should be involved in decision making, which again I think seems like a bit of an oversimplified way of talking about decision making in an agile environment, where it should really be those people that are closest to the work and know the most about what the impacts of the decisions going to be, rather than getting absolutely everybody involved just for the sake of it. So yeah, bits and pieces like that that just didn't quite connect for me throughout the book. So as you said at the start, we found a few good nuggets of gold, probably some of the more controversial stuff that we liked and found interesting. But yeah, there was just this kind of sense as we went through as well that there was a bit of inconsistency, and some of the basics of agility weren't really applied that well.
Who do you think would benefit from reading this book?
Yeah, we talked through some of our regular book club catch-ups on this book about what we were sort of contemplating, who the audience was that she was sort of aiming at. And I did find that a bit tricky because she went into a lot of the basics of HR, so it didn't feel like she was aiming at HR professionals who would be experienced in a lot of these things. She also went into a lot of the basics about agility, so it didn't feel like she was really aiming at people who are experienced in agile and perhaps needed more of the HR side of it. So I'm not sure where it was aimed at, who she was trying to appeal to. But I do think, you know, anybody that's perhaps new to HR and new to agility, perhaps it's those sort of maybe HR grads going in to an HR space early in their career. Yeah. A bit more of the broad spectrum of agility and HR rather than focusing in on some specialist areas.
Yeah. I was thinking beginners. Beginners to the HR space and to the agile space. I wouldn't say it's a book for anyone who's outside of HR to learn about agile. It's definitely more relevant for those people who will be in a HR area. But yes, definitely not anyone who's looking for any kind of depth in HR agile practices or agility in general.
Yep, agree.
Thanks, Anita. Till next book.
Thanks, Renee. See ya.
Thank you for listening to The Leaders Playlist. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please be sure to share our podcast with your family, friends, and work colleagues. Until next episode.